This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Aren't you forgetting the ruby slippers?
You're guilty of nothing!
Yeah, I'm a green fairy.
Sean!
I hereby christen this budget Barbie camper Priscilla.
Is butter a carb?
I'm a homosexual!
You don't put a bra in a dryer!
This is gonna get me my third Tony Award.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. Daniel with you today. Now, this week on Outtakes, we are turning our attention to the small screen. We're looking at queer online content that is made for online viewing, and in particular, short format content made for TikTok, which is kind of wild because who'd have thunk that we'd be spotlighting TikTok on Outtakes? But the online platform has skyrocketed in popularity and content creators are now using it as a platform to broadcast boundary-pushing, innovative, interesting queer fare. And it's not just content creators who are jumping onto TikTok to get their stories out there. Funding bodies are getting involved. Screen Australia has just announced its second iteration of the Every Voice Initiative, a funding program offering content creators up to $50,000 to produce innovative content designed for TikTok. So coming up on this week's program, we are speaking with Elise Adams, Investment and Development Manager at Screen Australia for online production. We're also revisiting chats with Hannah McKinney, the creator of Trans Athletica, and Logan Mucha, the director of Scattered, two innovative and important new series designed for TikTok and funded in part by Screen Australia. There's a lot to get through today, but before we do, this is not the first time that we've looked at short format TikTok content on Outtakes. In fact, about a year ago now, Gina and Alan and I had a really good chat about the way that online spaces are shaping queer content, and indeed the way that its distribution has the power to democratize queer content. Here's part of the chat, which is available in full at joy.org.au/outtakes.
You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9, and this is From the Vault.
Do you remember when we talked with Ruby Rich, who, of course, coined the phrase new queer cinema back in the 90s? She observed this trend of new storytelling. Mm-hmm. And she said that one of the things that led to this wave of what she called new queer cinema was the availability of new ways of telling story, new technologies. So the camcorder had just been released, and all of a sudden we had these filmmakers who were telling stories using camcorders.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 30 years later, is YouTube or TikTok the new camcorder?
But it's not only just the new camcorder. It's not that the technology to shoot it and to write it is more accessible. It's the
platform.
Distribution of that material. So we didn't have the internet back when, you know, we were making things on camcorders. We couldn't reach an audience the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it was VHS, rewind your tape or get the fine, you know, kind of thing, video, or go to a festival. So we did. It's more that distribution of a product has become also far more. So it's really changed.
Well, yeah, and we've seen that a lot. YouTube is just one online platform. You know, there are all kinds of platforms these days online that are democratizing the way that content is made and seen.
seen and, as you say, distributed. Mm-hmm. Now, that's really interesting because when we talk about representation, the big Hollywood studios are often seen, you know, if we two-dimensionalize, if we bastardize this conversation about representation, the big Hollywood studios are oftentimes seen as the villain in the story, right? Mm-hmm. Impeding access to nuanced representations of queer life. Now, I think, you know, when we talk about web series and when we look at the kind of censorship scandal that Ding Dong I'm Gay found itself amidst, we have to seriously question, well, what role do these platforms then play? Are they going to be the new big Hollywood studios in determining what audiences can and can't see? Is that appropriate? You know, there's a real question there. So that's something that I think when we're looking at web series, we have to talk about, well, who monitors what we're seeing online?
And YouTube, and I think the series that we're looking at today are a really good example to examine this topic because YouTube is not the only platform that they're on. Alan and I kind of chuckled because we're of an age where TikTok...
Speak for yourself.
In the politest way possible that we can get vaccinated, unlike Daniel over here.
Fully vaccinated.
I'm almost fully vaccinated. So TikTok is something I know I haven't engaged with. It's not the social media that I've engaged with, but I had to figure out for one of their shows
today.
That's
better than Alan over here, who's still on MySpace.
Oh, does that even work? Is it as good as the studio
I'm sure,
that I just broke?
Yeah, look, you know, I've fired up my Commodore 64 the other day and it was working fine.
But we had to figure out how to download TikTok. We both did. We managed to do it. It's an app. It's not hard, people. Frighteningly embarrassing.
It's changing the way that stories are being told.
It is. And here is yet another going to be another gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, Instagram and all those kind of things. And the shows that we're going to be looking at today, not only are using YouTube, but are using the platforms they know their audiences go to and building community there and releasing story there. So if it is censored on YouTube, is it going to be censored on TikTok? Is it going to be censored on Twitter?
Is it censorship, or is it about having an editorial framework, governance around you know things like nudity and swearing and drug referencing?
Hang on. Let's just take it one step back.
I'm sure there are platforms. You know, horses for courses.
You are listening to Outtakes. That was just a small snippet of a conversation Gina, Alan and I had about a year ago now when we looked at short format online queer content and the way it was being policed at the time. We were looking at a short format series called Ding Dong I'm Gay, which had just been taken off YouTube because it was allegedly too explicit for the platform. If you want to find out more about that controversy and take a listen to the full program, head to joy.org.au/outtakes. But we are today continuing our look at online short format queer fare, particularly with a view to content being designed for TikTok, which is kind of the new home of boundary pushing online queer fare. It's kind of content that's being created for the space is incredible, really. And that's something that's been recognized by Screen Australia with its new initiative, Every Voice. Now, Every Voice ran last year and funded a number of short format productions for TikTok. And it's running again this year. And to talk to us about the new initiative, we're joined by Elise Adams, who's an investment and development manager for online production at Screen Australia. Her role includes managing development, production, and completion funding for multiple online projects across YouTube, Facebook, ABC iView, SBS On Demand, Netflix, Stan, and of course, TikTok. Elise deals with creators, writers, producers, platforms, broadcasters, and other humans every day using her years of experience working in the online sector to give guidance on the best way to create unique content that will reach a global audience. We're thrilled to be joined by Elise on the program today. Elise, to begin, that's quite a mouthful. Tell us, what does your role at Screen Australia actually involve?
I'm across production funding and development funding for online projects. So, mainly it's web series that we look at that come in with either an idea that they want to try and get support from us, either at a development stage, so, you know, writing, getting the concept off the ground, or actually getting it made and going out and shooting it. And that's where we come in.
I think a lot of our listeners might be surprised to hear that Screen Australia actually has an online team. You know, when we think about on-screen content, we often don't think about the way in which the online space has evolved to be a real home for new and diverse on-screen content. So I guess the question is, why is it so important for Screen Australia to invest in and produce content for online spaces?
Well, for us, you know, we are making content for Australian audiences, so we want to be going where they are watching. And everyone knows that online, more and more audiences are flocking there. So why shouldn't we be supporting creators who want to make content for that space? We really like how the online creators can push boundaries when you come onto that space and really find, you know, niche audiences that can tap into huge viewerships, especially when it's going, you know, to a global audience. So we love being in the online space, and you know, we've got a lot of great success stories. And, you know, the department and fund has been around for a while now, that there's actually quite a number of people that we can point to in the industry that are further along in their careers that actually got their first start through outdoors.
Mm. And I love that idea of online spaces being a place for content producers to really push boundaries. What do you think it is about the online platform that allows creators to push boundaries more than they might on conventional or in productions for conventional platforms?
Well, I think it comes down to just being no gatekeepers, you know. You can really just go out and make what you think is funny or moving or interesting and put it up there and get that response back from the audience. So, you know, we see that a lot with the creators we deal with. You know, they come to us maybe already with a built-in following and say, look, this is what I want to make. And they can point to that audience to say, you know, people want to watch it. So we really like to see that. Or when teams come to us who have an idea and have a specific audience that they want to reach and can show through other series or other things that are doing well that their idea could connect to an audience.
Oh, look, on the one hand, I said earlier, a lot of our listeners might be surprised to hear that Screen Australia is funding and producing content for online spaces. But on the other hand, I think that will come as no surprise to many of our listeners, because really, in the past few years, especially, the pandemic has really pushed us online to find new content. I mean, we've all kind of been living more and more online. So is that your experience as well? How has the pandemic, do you think, shaped the way that as audiences we digest our media and as audiences we look for content online?
Yes, the pandemic definitely had an impact on how creators were working and how audiences were operating. Definitely, you know, seeing that big rise in TikTok really becoming a dominant platform in that space. I think also in the types of content people were wanting to watch and stories they were wanting to see. We saw that with our creators who were coming through with ideas that were dealing with living, you know, in a pandemic and what's that like. We had great series with Retrograde went on ABC, Love in Captivity that went out on Facebook, and another one cancelled that really found a huge audience through its Facebook community. And we really liked the kind of creativity that those creators brought and also the resilience.
You're listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. Daniel with you today as we look at short format online queer content designed for TikTok. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, but to help us break it down, we are joined by Elise Adams, who's been speaking to us about her role as the investment and development manager for online production at Screen Australia. Now, Elise, the other, I mean, just coming back to this idea of online content pushing boundaries, it's also proved a, you know, I think in my observation, a more fertile space for diverse voices, because indeed it's often the diverse voices that seek to push the boundaries. Is that your experience too?
Yeah, definitely. I think globally, you know, there is an audience out there who, for whatever kind of community you belong to or identity, you know, you turn to the internet to find that representation, to find that comfort, because you're not necessarily seeing it in traditional spaces. So when it comes to online, there is that huge audience of people wanting that type of content. And it's great that we're able to fund creators who can deliver that much needed content.
Mm. So when we talk about online content, I mean, you've already mentioned a few platforms, including Facebook, and it's still kind of mind-boggling to me that we talk about Facebook as a platform for on-screen content. But I mean, I guess you're right. That's where we digest our media so often. What are some of the other online platforms that are proving new and fertile grounds for screen content?
Well, we do obviously a lot on YouTube, and then in the past 2 years, that has really shifted to more and more of a focus with TikTok. Obviously, that is quite different in that they are shorter episodes. Now, obviously, it's increased past 60 seconds, but at the time, it was only a minute that you could have on there. So the types of stories that we're seeing are different. And we're pretty open to kind of whatever platform creators want to release on, as long as they can justify why it's going out there and why their audience is there. So the example I like to always give is, if you were wanting to make a series that was for a YA audience and was 20 minutes long and you wanted to release on Facebook, that might not be the right move. But something like TikTok, then that could work. So we're really open to kind of whatever video platform is out there, as long as there's a pathway to audience.
Okay, you're making me feel very old right now. So is the proposition that young adults don't visit Facebook anymore?
Unfortunately, yeah, they're not really signing up and checking out on Facebook. But that doesn't mean there isn't an audience there. And, yeah, something like Cancelled really connected with, more mature audience base.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's fascinating in and of itself, isn't it? Because I suppose now that your certain productions are being pitched for certain online platforms, creators, they must have to be far more particular about who their audiences are. It's not like the old days where you can pick a time slot on television and kind of capture a real cross-section. They really are targeting their productions at more specific audiences.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's important with teams that are coming to us and, talking about an idea they want to do, that they are also fans or interested in that type of content, because then they know how the audience behaves. Mm. So the authenticity has to be baked into the team in order for the project to succeed. Otherwise, I think online audiences are really savvy and can sniff out a fake super quick. So the team needs to know who their audience is and, in a way be creating for themselves so that they can actually market it towards them.
I love that, because we talk so much about authenticity on this program, and clearly authenticity is important to you when you're looking at various mm-hmm. productions and potential funding for those productions.
Definitely. I think screen content should be reflecting Australian society, and everyone should be able to see themselves on screen. So that is the big thing that we look at when assessing a project is, who is telling the story and why are they wanting to tell the story? Does that match up?
Now, I want to ask you more about TikTok, because clearly TikTok is, it seems to me the new frontier for online screen content. But then I have to confess that I'm clearly antiquated and don't know very much about TikTok. For content creators who are producing content for TikTok, what are, in your view, the parameters for content creation for content creation for TikTok?
Well, yeah, it's a very exciting space right now. I have drunk the Kool-Aid. I think TikTok is a great place for creators wanting to, basically break into the industry, because it's a little bit like the golden days of YouTube. You really can release a video on TikTok with no following behind you and reach a large audience. A great example is another Australian series, The Formal. Their pilot episode went out. They don't have any following. The account doesn't have any following, and it reached a million views.
Wow.
It really knew the audience it was going after, and they found it and loved it.
And a million views, I mean, that's fantastic. That's, I don't know what the latest stats are for big budget television series in primetime slots, but I'd imagine that's highly competitive.
Yes. Yeah, I think the amount of views that we can get through our department versus, you know, the funding that we have, it's a big, you know, it's a big reward in terms of what we're getting.
But then also there's quite an art to producing content for TikTok as well, isn't there? Because it's not every content creator who can tell a story in 60 seconds.
Oh, totally. It's, yeah, people shouldn't just think like, oh, it's on TikTok. Yeah, you just whack it up on TikTok. You do need to, you know, be on the app and seeing how it works. You know, telling a story through short form content is its own medium. So you need to understand the parameters and how it works.
Let's talk dollars then. For the average content creator, I mean, of course, there's going to be a huge spectrum, but when we're looking at some of these more polished TikTok productions, the kinds that Screen Australia will usually assist in the production of, you know, how much, you know, people are watching these 1 minute series, they probably don't always have an appreciation of how much money and work goes into these productions. So for your average TikTok series, what are we looking at to get the series into production and on our screens?
Well, I guess it depends project by project. Our department funding, so for online production funding, our funding goes up to $500,000, and that's at a grant level. So you can ask from anywhere in between there. Mm. Otherwise, you know, we do disclose all the funding that we give to a project in our drama report. So you can always, you know, if you are interested in a web series, you can have a look through there. For the Every Voice initiative, the first year was $50,000, and this year it can go up to $75,000.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about the Every Voice initiative then. Tell us, what is that initiative?
So Every Voice is a partnership that we have with TikTok and Ended on Air. We ran it last year and we're running it again now. It's a, you know, we're essentially wanting to help the next generation of online storytellers expand their vision and make content that's going to reach, you know, a really global audience. And yeah, so we're excited to be supporting new ways for people to tell their stories and engage with those audiences.
Tell us about then some of the content that came out of the initiative last year.
Yeah, so we had Transathletica that just came out, which is a really great series. I think it's about halfway through releasing right now, but, you know, it's looking at the important issue of trans people in sports, but most importantly told from a trans perspective, which I think, you know, is left out of the conversation a lot of the time. So I think it's a really great example of what you can do on TikTok and within, you know, 60 seconds. Seems like a very complicated, hard topic, but, you know, if you go and watch that series, you definitely learn a lot and come away feeling informed. So another one we have is Sexistics, which is looking at sex, gender, and identity through, you know, the very sexy use of statistics and data. That's from a TikTok creator, Esme, and I love that series. Again, that one is releasing at the moment, and I would encourage everyone to go check that out to get more informed on those topics.
I love that. So tell me, I am, as I said, super antiquated, have never used TikTok in my life. We actually ran an episode last year of Outtakes where we looked at some of the content on TikTok, and one of my co-hosts kept calling it the TikTok, which I think is kind of super telling and kind of shameful, actually. But so tell me, do I need to create a TikTok account to view this content, or is it available elsewhere online, or should I just kind of stop complaining and sign up?
Well, the good thing is you don't need an account to watch TikTok.
So did I just reveal how old I am? I think you need an account for TikTok, but you don't. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, you can download the app and, you know, start going through and checking stuff out, or, you know, TikTok does, you can go on, you know, a desktop version and have a look. I would say the functionality is good. Going on the app, searching either Transathletica or Sexistics will take you to where you need to go. But otherwise, you know, I would encourage you to download it and have a go yourself.
Okay. Well, look, I think it's a wonderful initiative. I think it's this intersection, right, of online content and diverse content, which is so important. If there are any listeners of Outtakes listening to the program today and thinking that they might have a good idea for a short format series and they could use some funding and they want to get involved in this initiative, how can they go about doing that?
Yes, well, we would love as many applications as possible. So as I said, they're open right now and closing on the 21st of July. So you need to submit a short one-minute pitch video and you post that on TikTok with the hashtag EveryVoice. Otherwise, you know, I would say go onto our website and read the rest of the eligibility requirements, but also just feel free to contact Screen Australia, have either an email or a phone call if you're interested in applying, and we can help you from there. But we're really, like, we love the stuff that has come out from the first year, so we're really excited for the next batch to come in. So, you know, if you have a really great idea, you don't need to have a TikTok following behind you. So please think about applying.
Well, look, thank you so much for joining us on Outtakes today. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I'm really excited to see some of the new content that's assisted by this new initiative. I think it's a great initiative.
Thank you. Yeah, us too.
Elise Adams there, the Investment and Development Manager of Online Production at Screen Australia, talking to us about the Every Voice initiative. Head to screenaustralia.gov.au to find out more about the initiative, but otherwise stick around because we are spotlighting some of the great online content to come out of the initiative right after this. You're listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. Daniel with you today as we dive in deep to the world of online short format queer content designed for TikTok. And who'd have thunk that we'd be dedicating an episode of Outtakes to TikTok? But the platform is having a moment, so how could we not stop to celebrate some of this innovative, interesting new queer fare? We just spoke with Elise Adams, the Investment and Development Manager at Screen Australia for Online Production. In particular, we looked at the Every Voice Initiative, which is this great new initiative funding online innovative content for TikTok. And one of the programs to come out of that initiative last year was Trans Athletica. Outtakes co-host Conrad Brown sat down with Hannah McKinney, one of the team behind this amazing and very timely new Australian documentary series, and had a chat about the series. Trans Athletica is a 17-part series that focuses on the trans experience in a world of gendered sports and features the voices of leading transgender athletes and activists. Conrad started by asking Hannah about how Hannah came to be working in creating short format on-screen content for social media.
So I've worked in content for a while. So I worked at Vice Media, APAC, right up until 2020, like a lot of people. I actually moved to New York in March of 2020. When I returned, I had no apartment or nothing. And so I was living with my parents and needed work. And so that's when I met my now co-founder and business partner, Jamie. And we decided to start our own content studio. And it was in the middle of lockdown. And so TikTok was having a massive boom. And so that is really kind of where we focused, making TikToks. And so we really haven't kind of looked back. TikTok is a very big deal now. Yep. And it's been good because I can kind of take everything that I've learned about content and storytelling and basically condense that down into the really short form requirements of TikTok. So from there, we launched Rainbow History Class, which is my absolute baby and passion project, which is all about teaching queer and trans history to predominantly young people, though a lot of older people watch our content as well on TikTok in kind of 1 minute episodes. And so off the back of the success of that, we have been able to secure funding for our second project, which is Trans Athletica. So that's my entire life story.
Too good. You literally had a sliding doors moment.
I did.
That's so crazy. And look where it led you. And I think it does feel like it was, you know, fate. It was kismet. It was meant to be. And you probably would have ended up here in some way, you know, way, but it just, this route got you there a lot faster by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's the help of a very powerful algorithm. I think it is all timing.
What is it about TikTok that is such a great platform for Rainbow History Class and your new project, Trans Athletica? What is it do that you couldn't do in those traditional formats?
I think it's the ability to reach new audiences. So it works on a recommendation algorithm, which means that it's served up for you, unlike other platforms where you might need to search something that you're interested in or follow someone that you're already interested in. TikTok will serve you what it thinks you might be interested in. And because of that, that means that you're able to reach people that maybe haven't thought of what you're talking about at all. They talk about this sort of gender and sexuality, this boom that's happened on TikTok, because much like Tumblr did years beforehand, on TikTok, people are being exposed to so many different types of people that have shared experiences. And so many people as a result are going, hang on, maybe I'm like that, or maybe that is the kind of identity I should try on. And so I think for, in particular, queer and trans type subject matter, I think it is so powerful because you're reaching a new audience with something that people aren't given. And so therefore there's a huge appetite for it.
It's incredibly accessible too. You can tap into it so easily through in a private way, but it can be shared to millions of people. So it's got the best of both worlds. And look, I don't think this is telling anything new here, but I am an older person who is very old school when it comes to, you know, usually the way that I enjoy films. I still love going to the cinema. I have embraced, you know, obviously watching things at home as well. But my experience with TikTok was pretty limited up until very recently. And I was really fortunate to come along to the launch of your new project, Trans Athletica. So it's a 17-part documentary series, all done on TikTok, talking about this really incredibly important subject, focusing on the trans experience in the world of gendered sports. You have an incredible presenter and person who really drives this project. Obviously, you'd had the experience of doing Rainbow History Class, but how did Trans Athletica become what it is now and out there in the world?
Well, it's been kind of a long journey because we received grant from Screen Australia and TikTok themselves. So that was really new and exciting. So we essentially pitched this idea for a TikTok documentary. And at that point was not something that we knew was possible. I'd worked around documentaries a lot at Vice, but they don't do brilliantly on TikTok. So we knew that we needed to kind of hack the documentary form.
Yep.
And do it in a minute. And we learned so much along the way doing that. But once we received that kind of funding, we began to work on it. Now, it got pushed in terms of timelines because of COVID and lockdowns. And so we have had this on our radar for over a year.
Right.
I think, not that I know for sure. And so when we first began looking at it, we were not really thinking that the audience would be mass. We thought it would be, you know, a kind of a LGBTQ plus sort of social justice interested audience or a progressive sport audience. But by the time we got around to filming it, it was part of the election campaign and national news. And so we then needed to rethink how we were using TikTok and how we were going to play with the different touch points that the app and the algorithm gives you to kind of reach people in a way that was more positive or enter the discussion differently.
I think having Rudy Jean Reek as the presenter and sharing their lived experience as a trans man navigating their journey, for choice of a better word, in the world of competitive sport was obviously just such a powerful way to tell the story, and then to bring in all of these people who are also going through these experiences, as well as some experts. It is an extremely powerful series. How do you feel now? I know you don't, I don't want to put you in the position of having to be a spokesperson on this because I think it's just so complex anyway, but how do you feel having Transathletica out there as part of the narrative around all of this?
I certainly feel grateful and in a sense humbled because so much of the work that Transathletica's done is built off the back of a lot of really incredible, I guess, activism in the space and people that are writing policies and people that have the unglamorous jobs of working with, you know, a sporting code to change one minuscule thing. They're having to take so many steps and it just feels like such a long road, and they were doing that long before it became an election issue. And so I think from their work it feels brilliant and to be able to kind of take some of what they're telling us and use what I think, or at least my skill is in terms of writing that in a way that will tell that story in and reach more people. So certainly in terms of the actual issues, I see Transathletica as the very best version of getting the work of other people and their perspective out there. And my hope is that we've retained all of the nuance as much as we possibly can in 1 minute episodes and picked the right arguments to explore. And I think that to me is satisfying. I think for Rudy, who is equal parts a content creator, but also someone who is an athlete, I think that's a bit more of a complex kind of relationship between those two people. But otherwise, it has felt really brilliant to be able to weigh in on the discussion and that people were open to talking to us. And I have to say that very few people would talk to us in the end. A lot of athletes just said, you know, why would I? And we had no answer to that because we were just like, why would you?
I feel like you've added such a powerful voice to the conversation, and the way that you've done it through TikTok is really cool. What would be something you would say to people who are thinking about doing a project in this space? What's your advice?
Gosh, there's so much. The first thing is like, don't wait, because the beauty of TikTok is that you can do a very rough sketch of an idea and have it live and you see if people like it like instantly that day. If you've got a story that you want to try out, go and make a version of it and put it on TikTok and see if it works. It doesn't cost anything. It's just like test your idea out on TikTok first. The next thing is the biggest thing we learned is that there were many times throughout the editing process that nearly killed me and definitely Carly, our brilliant editor, which was these so many times we were like, oh my God, let's just do the 3 minute cut. Let's just do the 3 minute episode. It's actually not going to take us any longer. Like, let's just make this one 3 minutes. And I was really staunch in that, no, every episode is a minute. And the difference between cutting a 3 minute story and cutting a 1 minute story is massive.
Yeah.
So some things that we did was, you know, in documentaries, you get so much of a person's character by lingering shots of their hands or their face. You can't do any of that. So we needed to create like a narrative device that would ask the questions that we were expecting in a long form to arise in the audience's mind. So that's how we created this detective set, which was entirely built to scale of a TikTok screen. So it was a 9x16 coach's office.
Yeah.
And we really used that. That came through late in the piece when we realized, oh, how are we going to flag these questions we need to answer? So we had to put in a character to ask them. And that's where that kind of part came in to drive the narrative of each TikTok along.
What is the one thing you would like people to take away after they finish watching the series?
I think that that it's not an easy answer. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, which is what comes through in the series, is that Rudy and I began this writing process with the simple question of what if there was another way to do this? And then as you'll see throughout the series, you see that kind of unravel and us having real-time realizations that transphobia is just so pervasive and systemic. It's not a kind of switch on and off type issue. So at the end, if we can encourage people to start asking actual questions, for example, people currently are quoting science that is not there. And we know it's not there because there are not enough transgender elite athletes to form any kind of sample size. Let's start with like actually asking questions and thinking about all of our issues and then actually seeing if there's anything there, because from our research, there isn't.
Many thanks to Hannah McElhenney for speaking with me about Trans Athletica, the fantastic new must-see documentary series, which is available to watch now. Just search for transathletica.series on TikTok.
You're listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where today we are turning our attention away from the big screen and toward the small screen as we celebrate short format online queer content designed for TikTok. And that's quite a mouthful, but we've been breaking it down over the course of the program with some help from Elise Adams, who's the investment and development manager for online production at Screen Australia, and Hannah McKinney, the director of Trans Athletica, which is available now on TikTok. But of course, this is not the first time we've looked at online TikTok fare and what's different about it. Last year, we sat down with Logan Mucha, who's joined us on Outtakes a few times, but joined us to talk about his new production, Scattered. Scattered is an innovative and moving drama exploring themes of grief, friendship, and identity. And we asked Logan to tell us a little bit more about what Scattered is about.
So the series is a young adult drama, and it's about three friends who steal their best mate's ashes from his funeral. And they take it for one last night out. But across the course of the night, it gets a bit hazy and they wake up the next day without the ashes. So they have to spend the day quickly scrambling to retrace their steps and find their ashes before their friend's parents need to scatter him.
Now, Logan, do you know that Gina had to download TikTok specifically to watch this series?
I'm old enough to be vaccinated, honey.
That's appreciated. It's a bit overwhelming, TikTok. Yeah.
But, look, Logan, you've been on our program a bunch of times before. I'm always for really interesting queer content, but we've never viewed anything you've done on TikTok before. How is it different producing a series, making a series for TikTok, and why do you do it? Why is TikTok an appropriate forum for this kind of storytelling?
Making stuff for TikTok is very different, obviously, from traditional storytelling and normal platforms, because at the time, it's increased now, but we were confined by that 1 minute length. And so you have to kind of tell every episode has to kind of have something that grabs you at the start, a hook at the end. So everything has to try and be as self-contained as possible. So it is quite hard squeezing a lot of content and story into 1 minute.
But, Alan struggles to get a sentence into a minute. That's a fair comment. So I'll pay that, D. I'll pay that. But, having said that, trying to squeeze all of that into 1 minute, it's hard enough getting that into just an ordinary short film, let alone 1 minute of TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, that surely has taken, a feat of writing prowess and editing mastery.
Note how that took him more than a minute to say.
Logan, can I ask?
Compliments. Thank you. But I kind of come from I kind of work in advertising as well, so I'm quite used to working with directors and kind of writing, ads for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. So for me personally, it wasn't too much of a challenge because I'm used to trying to, tell a whole story or sell something in such a short amount of time. But it was quite challenging, trying to make everything have that hook and kind of making it happen to be like coherent sense and kind of telling the through lines to the whole thing was quite, hard. And so, like I said, we kind of did this in lockdown last year, so we had I had all the time in the world to keep writing it until we got it right.
Well, look, I'll pay you a compliment. There was actually one episode there where I was starting to choke up. I was actually almost in tears, and I thought, well, I think that's pretty amazing to actually get that response within under a minute. So
I'll give you a compliment, pay a compliment there. Well done.
Thank you. Well, you should just keep watching to the end. We're only a few episodes away from the end, and I can probably guarantee you'll cry by then.
Okay, fantastic. Aww. You know, I'm looking forward to the last 7 episodes, right? I've watched, you know, 31, and there's one that's supposed to drop. Did one drop this afternoon at 2 o'clock?
Is that the 30th? Weekdays, 2 p.m.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. Okay, right.
Can I ask Logan, and apologies if you can't hear me because of the way we're streaming you, is the, you know, there's kind of always that deciding whether to have things that people can binge right away or whether you do things like you've done on this TikTok, which is, see, I called it the TikTok again, where you release things slowly. Can you help us around the decision to release something, you know, weekly rather than just have everything there for, you know, an audience to go find and binge?
Look, so I'm going to be speaking on behalf of the producers here because they're kind of managing the rollout and distribution of it. So I've kind of, you know, cleaned my hands of it at the moment. But they kind of had success, you know, with Love Song with their show before. Mm. They kind of, you know, found that by having something in a regular time each day meant they could kind of build an audience, like kind of new one to come, new one to look for it. Because as of TikTok, as you've probably discovered, it's not like, you know, you go on YouTube, you get a notification when the new episode comes out. It's quite random and it's all over, you know, you're kind of just getting the stream, just random stuff coming at you. So it was, I'm assuming that their kind of, you know, reason for doing so was to try and give some stability and some kind of ability for an audience to know when to come back and look for something. Because otherwise, you know, if they kind of were looking for something and it's not there, if we kind of had this random release strategy, it would probably be very hard to know when to kind of come and look at it.
Well, let me ask you this then, Logan, while we're talking about audience, what is the audience like? Firstly, do you have a sense of what demographic is viewing this content? But secondly, in what numbers?
So the best thing was that, you know, for this kind of story, which was aimed at, you know, we wanted to tell a story about, you know, loss and grief through a young, through the perspective of young queer people. And TikTok has a very young demographic on it, you know, who are hard probably to reach on, you know, traditional platforms. So we kind of, you know, we're right in the hands of the people we want to reach, but the audiences that we have had and the way they've engaged with it has just been overwhelmingly positive. They've been very supportive. They've been very, you know, they've been loving the show, which our producers have said that, you know, things they've done before, it's TikTok's quite polarizing. You know, there's a lot of arguments in the comments and stuff like that. And even though we're quite surprised by how overwhelmingly positive all the feedback and comments were on the episode.
But well deserved. I mean, that positive feedback is so well deserved, Logan. And I'm someone who has seen trickles of what tic-tac. Oh, there you go. I'm so tired. It's the vaccine. It's clearly my 5G's kicked in. So, I mean, I've seen what I thought was TikTok and then I downloaded to watch Scattered and I've subscribed and I'm following. And it's blown me away because it is such strong, succinct storytelling. It is so clever. Nothing that is on screen is wasted. And when you do come back, you know, when we do bookend or retouch a moment, like when, you know, Beau is in the bathroom and you come back to that, it is so powerful. So I think you've just done a tremendous job in telling a phenomenal story. That's just.
And there's 450,000 likes.
Wow.
On TikTok and what is it, nearly 49,000 followers. It's pretty good in less than 30 days. That's a month. That's a month's worth
Logan,
of work.
Not to interrupt this shower of praise, but I do actually have a couple more questions that I was hoping to take.
Keep the compliments coming.
No, it's really phenomenal.
Look, clearly the series resonates. Gina and Alan, you know, walked into the studio today and all they've been doing is showering praise on this series. Legitimately.
It's very sweet.
You know, for a second there, I thought it was filmed in Footscray at one of the bars.
It's very Melbourne.
Pride of our Footscray. The
yeah,
bar.
No, it was filmed all around, mostly the northern suburbs. Not in Footscray, but mostly kind of North Fitzroy, Brunswick.
That's it. I'm deleting from my app now. delete, unfollow, unsubscribe.
We went Southside for a couple of occasions.
Let me ask you this, Logan. I think you said earlier that you received some funding from Screen Australia for the production. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Screen Australia and Film Victoria.
Yeah, because I certainly was aware of the funding that you'd received from Film Victoria. It's provided funding to a number, I think about 12 web series, and obviously Scattered was one of those, and it's quite a large pool of money that it's put up for these series. Why do you think it is that our peak screen bodies are looking to channel funds into short format storytelling of this nature? And do you think that there's a commercial return for them, or is this about the kind of cultural return?
Oh, that's a big question.
All about the big questions
is that, you know, two things. You know, Screen Australia and Film Victoria both are always, you know, trying to look for, keep on top of, you know, new ways of storytelling. So for them, it was kind of looking, seeing what the potential TikTok could offer. So they want to kind of try and make sure they're experimenting and kind of exploring all these different platforms and avenues. But obviously something like that, TikTok's not set up to make a revenue, you know, it's not set up to make money from it yet. And so that's for them, it's not so much about making sure that we make money and pay them back and stuff like that. It's one, you know, as you said, it's about ensuring that we have a diverse range of stories, you know, are reflected within Australia. And so they obviously have a remit for that, which is great. But the other main thing they're trying to do is invest in the talent as well. So this is kind of like a stepping stone, I suppose, you know, just to prove that we can do something on a small scale before we kind of take on bigger projects afterwards.
How does this series Scattered actually make money? What is the commercialization of it? You don't at all?
No, we don't make any money off it. So obviously, you know, the funds that we're going to get, make sure that we're going to get paid for our, you know, wages and our rates and stuff like that.
Oh, Alan, I'll have a chat to you off air how the rest of us kind of just go on.
How cute is it that he thinks everyone makes money?
Someone must be making money out of TikTok. No, but surely.
Yeah, it's more about kind of growing your talents and growing skills, you know, on a small scale.
So it's an investment.
And growing an audience, I think, and I think you guys have easily done that.
But it's not just that as well. I think it is the cultural return, and that is, Logan, as you say, one of the remits, and that is the purview of Film Victoria and Screen Australia as well. It's to take local stories to international audiences as well as around the country, but really to showcase not only Australian talent but Australian stories, and that's what this series is doing.
Yeah, totally. And the best thing about this as well using TikTok is that we have a global audience. Like most of the, you know, we've got so many people overseas in America. We've got a big audience there, but it's great to be able to have your work seen by an international audience, which is sometimes harder to do with Australian stories in different platforms.
Logan Mucha there talking about his series Scattered, which landed on TikTok last year and is still available to view, a great queer series to check out. And check out Transathletica while you're there. If you want to find out more about Transathletica, head to joy.org.au where you can catch our full program looking at new queer documentaries, and we feature Transathletica in that program as well. Big thank you to Elise Adams for joining us on the program today as we explored TikTok and short format queer fair design for TikTok. But we've run right out of time. That's it for another week of Outtakes.
You've been listening to Outtakes, the home of queer film and television on Joy 94.9. Want to catch up on past episodes? Head to joy.org.au/outtakes or search Outtakes on your favourite podcast platform.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.